Jesus said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Who are these blind people? In what way are they blind? Certainly a man who is physically blind cannot lead other blind people. But there has to be something more that Jesus is talking about here. He has to be talking about something more important and higher than just physical blindness. What does this represent? What does Jesus mean when he says that the blind leading the blind will cause both to fall into the ditch? It must be that he's talking here about people who are spiritually blind. They're blind spiritually. They can't see because they have closed their eyes. But who is he talking about? What kind of people is he talking about who are trying to lead others who are blind? Well, I believe that a great example and a wonderful commentary on what we're looking at here in Luke chapter 6, verse 39 that we just read, is found in Matthew chapter 15. And I want to invite you to turn there right now to Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to begin in verse 1. The Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 1, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.'" Now the scribes and the Pharisees in particular had many traditions. They had many religious beliefs or doctrines that were not in the Old Testament. They were not in the scriptures of the Old Testament. So why did they believe that people had to follow those traditions? Well, they had the idea that there were oral traditions, unwritten laws that had been passed down for generations, and that those oral traditions were just as binding and just as authoritative as the Old Testament scriptures. As a matter of fact, in practice, they gave more weight, they ascribed more authority to their traditions than they did the Bible itself. And so when they say that the disciples of Jesus had transgressed the tradition of the elders, they're saying, in effect, that the disciples of Jesus had sinned just because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Now, it's not because they're so concerned about being clean that they said you had to wash your hands. It's because you might have touched something that a Gentile touched, and they believed that that made you religiously unclean and that you had to wash before you ate. And the important thing to remember about the Pharisees' traditions is that the common people really listened to, they really regarded the Pharisees. So this is not some kind of small group over here that has very little influence. They have great impact on the Jewish people, and many of the Jewish people listen to and respect these Pharisees. So Jesus begins to respond to these Pharisees, beginning in verse 3. "He answered and said unto them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?'" So the Pharisees said to Jesus that his disciples were transgressing the tradition of the elders, and he says back to them that they are transgressing the commandment of God, not the commandment or the tradition of elders, but the commandment of God Almighty in the Bible. And he says, "You're doing that by your tradition." In verse 4, he gives an example. He says, "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death.'" Now, the Bible plainly says then in verse 4 that Jesus quoted the Old Testament, which said that children are to respect and honor and care for their parents. But he says in verse 5, "You've got a tradition." And in Mark chapter 7, he calls that tradition Corban, which means a gift. He said in verse 5, "You say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift." In other words, I have the means, I have the money, I have the possessions to be able to take care of you as an aged parent. But I'm not going to do that because I'm going to give it to the temple. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And he says in verse 6, "And he honors not his father or his mother." In other words, he doesn't help his father or mother who need his help. And they said he's free from that commandment. "Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." So you have canceled out a basic teaching of the Old Testament. And that basic teaching was that you are to honor, respect, and take care of your parents if they need you. You've done away with that by this tradition of yours. So he says to them in verse 7, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" So Jesus says to these Pharisees, you're the guilty ones, not my disciples. He told them that they were hypocrites because they were so concerned about their traditions, but they had no care whatsoever in keeping the law of God. And he furthermore told them that they were worshiping God in vain. Their worship and all of their religion was useless. Now the Bible says in verse 12 that Jesus' disciples came to him. And remember here that the interesting thing is that Jesus was defending his disciples. But his disciples thought that he was being a little bit too hard on these Pharisees. So in verse 12, his disciples came and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Jesus, don't you know, don't you realize that you offended them by what you said? Well, how did Jesus respond to that? What did Jesus say when his own disciples said, "You've offended those Pharisees"? Well, in verse 13, he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." Now, what does he mean by that illustration? Well, he's talking about their religious doctrine. He's talking about the kind or the brand of religion that these people practiced. It was not of God. God did not authorize their doctrines. They made them up themselves. And he says the Heavenly Father is going to root up those doctrines. In other words, God is going to put an end to those. God is not pleased with them. So in verse 14, here's his answer. Now remember, his disciples said, "Why, you've offended these Pharisees." How did Jesus respond to that? Well, he said in verse 14, "Let them alone." He didn't say, "Oh, go call them back and I'll apologize to them." He said, "You let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind." They don't know and they don't see the truth themselves. And these people who are following them are blind as well. And he says, "And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So the blind leading the blind here refers to these religious teachers who are wrong, who are teaching things that are unscriptural, and you have these people who are following them, and they are following false teaching. That's the blind leading the blind. Now, how does that happen today? Does it happen in our time? Absolutely. People oftentimes let some priest or some preacher or some rabbi or some imam tell them what to believe. And there are millions of people today who are blindly following some man. They're blindly following the doctrines and the commandments and the traditions of men. And there are several reasons why they do that. There are some people that blindly follow a blind religious teacher because they don't love the truth to begin with. Now, that's what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He plainly tells us that the reason that some people follow false doctrine is because they don't have the love of the truth to start with. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says that the false movement that he describes here will come with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now listen very carefully to what Paul says here, and notice what Paul does not say. Paul is talking about people here who did not have the love of the truth. Now, what does God do with those people? The Bible says that God sends them a strong delusion or a working of error that they should believe a lie. Well, you see, God is not talking here about people who have a good and honest heart and who really want to know the truth. He's talking about people who are dishonest to begin with. And those people that don't want the truth, that are dishonest to begin with, are going to be misled even further into all kinds of lies and fables of men. So when you ask the question, how on earth can people believe some of the outlandish lies and doctrines of men that they do, this passage gives us some clue as to the answer. Because there are some people that started off wrong to begin with. They didn't want the truth to start with, and those are the very people that can be led into believing just about anything. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a very important passage. Then there are other people, I believe, who basically take the view that it's easier to let somebody else decide what they should believe than to go to the Bible and figure it out themselves. And so they let the preacher decide. They let the preacher study it out, and they allow the preacher to tell them what the Bible says. They don't check the Bible for themselves. That's one of the main reasons why that you have the blind leading the blind in religion today. Folks, the Bible tells us, and this is a command for every one of us, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove, that is, test all things. Hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. So the Bible says, test what you hear. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bible says that when the Bereans heard the preaching of Paul and Silas, they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they realized that they had not only the right, but the obligation before God to look into the Bible themselves to see what it said. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, that is, test the spirits, whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now it's sad that there are many people who do not follow these passages. They do not obey what God has told them to do. They let somebody else tell them what the Bible says. They allow somebody else to say that they know the will of God, and they will teach them. And it is tragic that there are so many people who blindly follow these religious teachers. Now, are those people who follow them responsible? Can they help it? Well, yes, they can, because Jesus said in John 7:17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." On the judgment day, it will not be an excuse that God will accept when people say, "Well, I just believe what he told me. I just did what the preacher told me to do." Because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Folks, read the Bible for yourselves and never blindly follow what some man tells you. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.